Dave. Welcome to live stream. This is Tesla's Q1 earnings that they just reported about less than an hour ago. And we're going to discuss the earnings live with you guys. If you can hear this, can you please go ahead and do a thumbs up in the comment section. Also, like the video. This is going to help get the word out and get more people to be part of this stream. All right, guys. So Tesla just reported Q1 earnings. And as you guys know, the earnings were pretty amazing and fantastic. Already the after hours price, if you look at here, it's already at $870 after market. So you got a $70 jump, right? About an 8.7% increase just in after hours. And this is amazing. I want to take kind of a level-headed look at this. I know there's going to be a lot of people who get excited about it, who think like Tesla's going to shoot to the moon. But we want to look at like why this is happening, right? Like, we want to look at what are the numbers. We want to look at like what's the future ahead for Tesla. And we want to try to analyze this from different angles. So anyways, first, congratulations to all the Tesla longs, myself included. You know, I'm like, you know, the biggest Tesla long that I personally know. I mean, it's just like, yeah, I believe in the company long term. You know, I think this is a great company. It's gonna, they're executing well, and they got great growth ahead, right? And in terms of prospects, other prospects, you know, there's very few companies that can compare to what Tesla has in the future. And I'm excited to, be part of this with you guys. All right, let's take a look at Tesla's Q1 earnings. And I'm sure you guys have looked at the shareholder letter already. If you haven't, please download this. Go to ir.tesla.com. That's the investor relations section for Tesla. And you will see a download link to the shareholder letter. And this is a must read. Also, there's a webcast that's happening at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. So go ahead, click that at 3:30, and you can go ahead and listen to the conference call. All right. If you guys can, go ahead and do that. And then we're going to go ahead and look at the Q1 earnings summary. All right. So some people are saying that the volume is kind of low, but I just turned it up a bit. Okay, I'll turn it up a bit higher. Actually, I do have a mic, and it was turned. There it is. The mic gain was turned a little bit low there. All right, the mic is back up to normal. I hope that helps. Okay, great. So Q1 2020 earnings. I love to break it down in the super simplest way possible, apart from spreadsheets, so everyone can understand. Like, I'm trying to teach like my little kid, like a first grader, right? How you can actually analyze a company. And this is how you do it. Tesla had basically around $6 billion in revenue. Okay, that's the money that they brought in. Out of that revenue, they had about a 20.6% gross margin, meaning 20% of that $6 billion was profit or gross profit, right? But this is before operating expenses. So you have 20% of $6 billion is $1.2 billion. Now they can use this $1.2 billion in gross profit to pay now their operating expenses and to pay any interest expense or etc. Now, a lot of people confuse this. This 20% gross profit already includes the labor of all the factory workers. So all the costs to build the cars, the physical assembly, all that, that's already included, right, in this gross margin. So the extra operating expenses we're talking about, these are salespeople, these are engineers, right? Everything, you know, headquarters, people that it takes to run the company. So this goes into operating expenses. All right, so we have, after $1.2 billion in gross profit, they have $951 million in operating expenses, basically a billion, and they have $215 million in interest expense that they need to pay. And so Tesla is left with a GAAP profit of $16 million, right? And this has completely surprised people, because there are very few people expecting Tesla to do to get a GAAP net profit. I mean, this is actually pretty remarkable. And I'll show you the key figure, like why Tesla was able to go net profit. And it lies in this whole gross margin number, okay? Like, this is something that Tesla surprised with, and I'll show you why they surprised. All right, let's take a bit closer look at some of the details in Tesla's earnings report, the shareholder letter. First, they're saying that they had increase of cash to $8.1 billion, right? So they did have already a $2.3 billion cash raise, right, in February. So with that included at the end of Q1, they're left with $8 billion. Now, this is fantastic. It's a strong balance sheet for Tesla, especially if you look back here, they're only dealing with $1 billion in expenses per month, right? And so because of that, they've got $8 billion, or basically about 8 quarters of runway, even if they don't, even if they stop producing cars. In terms of operating cash flow, this is like the cash, basically how much cash comes into the bank, right? How much more cash or less cash they're left with. And they basically had a negative $895 million cash flow, which basically was because they had a $981 million outflow due to inventory, meaning they produced more than they delivered, and there was an extra cost there. All right, so with profitability, let's look at this. They reporting a $16 million GAAP net income, and they're reporting that Shanghai is actually approaching the level of US-made Model 3, right? And this is fantastic, right? That Shanghai is actually having some great gross margin. And then Model Y gross margin was positive in Q1. Now, this is another surprise. Usually, when you're producing your first 1,000 or 2,000 cars, the gross margin is going to be negative, right? It's just that's how it works with economies of scale. However, Tesla managed to come up with positive gross margins for just a limited number of Model Y sold, and this is remarkable, right? So this is very bullish news for Tesla here. Now, Tesla is saying that in Q1 they are typically a seasonally weak first quarter, and for the first time in history, they've achieved a positive GAAP net income, right, in the first quarter. And this was their best first quarter for production and deliveries. Now, they're saying that in Gigafactory Shanghai, the margins improved and also Model Y contributed profits. Okay, so a bunch of factors, but I'm going to go into this more in detail. I think there's one key factor that explains kind of Tesla's entire earnings here. All right, operation. Tesla goes on in the shareholder letter. They're saying Model Y is going fine. They increased the Model S range, and they have production of 1,000 solar roofs in a single week. So finally, these solar roofs are ramping into production. Things are looking good for that. All right, now here is the key factor. Here is the reason why Tesla is profitable in Q1 2020, and it's because of this gross margin. If you look here, okay, so here we have this gross margin, automotive. Let's take a automotive gross margin first, okay? And in this automotive gross margin, you see they have 18.9, 22.8, and 22.5% automotive gross margin in the past 3 quarters. Now, suddenly, this quarter, they have a 25.5%, right? Gross margin bump. So that's a 3% bump in gross margin for automotive. And this is actually remarkable. And we're going to look into the reason why this happened. And as a result, their total margin, right? They sell a lot more than cars. They have solar, you know, energy, they have service, which is usually negative gross margin. But all that put together, their last 3 quarters was 14.5%, 18.9%, 18.8%, and this quarter it bumped up to 20.6%, right? And this is the key factor of why Tesla was able to be profitable, because they bumped up their gross margin. So why did they bump up, or how were they able to increase their gross margin? Well, there are four factors that Tesla cites in their shareholder letter, and here's what Tesla says here. It says that sequentially, GAAP gross margin was impacted by improved profitability of Gigafactory Shanghai. That's the first reason. Second is higher regulatory credits. So they're selling ZEV credits and other credits, and then they have lower delivery volume for model, and then they have a Model Y and solar roof ramp cost. So they have these four factors that they attribute to increased margin. But now here's the key thing. I think actually it's a bit more simpler than that. I think all of these factors contributed, but if you look specifically at this one line item, which is the automotive revenues, which are regulatory credits, right? Typically, Tesla will separate those out. And the last 3 quarters, you have 100 and $11 million in regulatory credits, $134 million in regulatory credits, $133 million in regulatory credits, and now you have a big jump up, $354 million in regulatory credits. You have a $220 million increase in regulatory credits, and that explains, right, how they were able to go from, let's say, about a minus, like a $200 million loss to a $16 million GAAP profit. They basically were able to sell $220 million more in regulatory credits than previous quarters, and so that increase explains it. Now, why were they able to significantly increase the regulatory credits? Now, we're going to have more information about this when Tesla releases their quarterly report, their 10K filing. And they're going to outline hopefully more about what these regulatory credits are. But as many of you know, Tesla last year inked a deal with Fiat, and they were going to basically sell credits to Fiat group over the course of the next few years, and they were going to incur about, and Tesla was going to receive about a $2 billion or so income off of that, spread out over many quarters. Now, this possibly could be the first quarter where Tesla is compensated for this Fiat kind of credit, and it could be showing up right here. Another reason, or another possibility, is they could have just stockpiled ZEV credits and just kind of unloaded as much ZEV credits as they could for this quarter. That's another possibility. There are other, you know, possibilities, but we don't know for sure until, you know, we get the 10K filing and Tesla really discloses what exactly these regulatory credits are. So anyways, that's what we know about these Q1 earnings. Tesla goes on, they share several more updates in their shareholder letter. The first update was a Shanghai update. And they're saying there's better than expected progress in Shanghai. And they're going to achieve a production rate of 4,000 per week or 200,000 per year run rate in mid-2020. Now, this is fantastic. If you've been following China at all, you'll know that in March, they had about a 12,000 unit production rate. And that's basically 150,000 production rate in March, right? They completely blew out people's expectations. So to boost it up, you know, to, you know, 200,000 run rate in mid, you know, in maybe June or July or so, I mean, that's pretty reasonable, right? It's just a small bump up. And they're going to release the long range version. And then, so here's the thing, their production capacity that they have right now is 90,000 Model S and X, 400,000 Model 3 and Y, and then they got 200,000 in Shanghai, right? And this is Tesla's kind of roadmap of what they can produce currently. All right, Tesla also gave an energy update. And in their energy update, they're saying that the demand for their battery pack, their mega pack, basically remains above capacity, right? And they're saying that they actually have more orders. Here they have multiple projects in their pipeline that are far bigger than the Hornsdale battery in South Australia, which is currently the largest lithium-ion battery project in the world. And so that's another great news, right? Tesla has a lot in store for Tesla Energy, and they're looking to grow that significantly over the next year. All right, so here we have some guidance update for Tesla. Tesla, they said that they're going to revisit their 2020 guidance in their Q2 update. And that makes sense, right? They don't even have their Fremont factory open, so what kind of guidance can they really give, right? Q2 will be basically in July, so probably end of July we'll have, you know, some better update, and Tesla will have a better update of what they can expect in terms of production and deliveries. All they could say is that they have capacity to exceed the 500,000 vehicle deliveries, but it's uncertain, right, how quickly they're going to be able to ramp and also when they're going to be able to open. The key question in the conference call is going to be, when will the Fremont factory be able to open, right? And Elon's going to have some comments on that. I'm confident about it. The concern about this is that the Bay Area shelter in place, Alameda County, where Fremont factory is located, has just extended their very stringent shelter in place order. And they basically outlawed or banned all non-essential businesses. They've relax the regulations for like tennis and golf and, you know, some outdoor activities and outdoor construction and gardening. But it seems like maybe they might not have relaxed really the regulations for manufacturing. Now, this is going to be a hotly contested issue. Last night, Elon Musk tweeted a series of tweets like Free America Now, a bunch of stuff. And I think that was possibly out of this frustration of Alameda County in the Bay Area's stringent regulations. I really think that they need to move to some smart type of ways to allow people to go back to work while mitigating the spread of the virus. And I outlined kind of a 10-point plan over a month ago, just using some smart measures where counties can let people go back to work but still mitigate, right, the spread of the virus in smart ways. Anyways, this is going to be a big issue going forward. This month, for Tesla, they're supposed to get back, or next month in May, they're supposed to get back to production, but we won't know. And Elon hopefully will have some insights for us. All right. Yesterday in my live stream, I shared Q1 earnings, and I want to revisit this and share and show with you what was correct and what was incorrect, but more specifically, what we can learn about, right, Tesla's earnings. So here was yesterday's Q1 earnings estimates that I gave. We know deliveries was 88,400, and I took that revenue and I said we project $5.9 billion. And that was basically right around what Tesla reported. They reported a little less than $6 billion in revenue. So this was correct. Now, gross margin is the next big item, right? And I predicted 18%, or estimated 18% gross margin due to Model Y ramp and Shanghai ramp kind of lowering their gross margin. However, what we got is we got a profitable Model Y already, and we got a Shanghai ramp that's doing great and approaching gross margin, and we got additional $220 million in regulatory credits. Okay, so that boosted the gross margin, the total gross margin, at 20.6%, right? So that's almost like a 2.5% difference. And the difference is the gross profit here went from $1 billion to $1.2 billion in gross profit. That's the gross profit that Tesla achieves as their gross margin goes up from 18% to 20.5%. Their operating expenses, I estimate about up $1 billion, and it was right around there, $951 million, so that was correct. And their operating profit was basically their gross profit minus their expenses. And their gross profit, since it was $200 million higher, you basically had, right, it's actually about $250 million gross profit because their expenses was $950 million. And then for the net income, they have a $16 million net profit. And it all goes back to the gross margin, right? Their $220 million in additional regulatory credits. Surprising people with how much they're able to make per car. And that's how Tesla was able to pull off this surprise profit in Q1. So here's the earnings summary again. $6 billion in revenue, 20.6% gross margin overall, 25% in the auto, $1.2 billion in gross profit, $951 million in operating expenses, $215 million in interest expense, and you have a $16 million gap profit here. So this is Q1 earnings here, and it's a fantastic thing. Let's take a look at aftermarket price action here on Google. We're up to $888. Here is the chart for Google here. Yeah, so it's it jumped up to about 860 or so, 870. And now it's at 880, and we have about, what, a 10% increase or so, and already, like, we're approaching all-time highs, right? Especially, I think the all-time high closing was about 912 or something. I think there's only one close that was above 900 in Tesla's history. Sure, it got up to 960 intraday, but then it kind of crashed, right, later on that day. So there's only been one day where Tesla has traded or has closed the day at 900. And so we're already approaching that number. All right, here's what we're going to do now is please go ahead and you can ask some questions here in the live stream. Let me know kind of what you want to talk about. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer a few questions in the live stream. And then I'm going to go ahead and start, take a break, like a 10-minute break. And I'm going to start a new live stream. And it's going to be about the S&P 500. I'm going to work out the exact numbers of what it's going to take for Tesla to get into the S&P 500 And I'm going to just kind of take some more questions regarding that. So that will be a new live stream in about, 10 or 15 minutes after this live stream ends. So let's go ahead and let's take a few questions. So Sumo Junkie says, Dave, can you explain the regulatory credits and are they recurring income? Yeah, so Tesla has different types of regulatory credits. For example, in certain states like California, they have the zero emissions vehicle credit, ZEV credits, right? And so for every ICE vehicle auto OEM sells, they're having to contribute these credits to offset, right, the pollution, right? But a lot of these OEMs can't make enough electric vehicles to offset a lot of the pollution and the carbon. So they're having to buy these ZEV credits from companies like Tesla, right? That's one, right? California is one of the states that does state ZEV credits. There's another kind of credit called the CAFE credit, which is more of a national thing. And Tesla's able to get income off of that. And then there's also this whole European credit system, right? As Europe has recently increased their standards for, emissions, and they're starting to fine companies without, right, enough zero emissions credit vehicles. And so Fiat last year signed a deal, a massive deal, like I said, about $2 billion or so over the course of a few years, where Tesla would sell them their, credits in Europe to Fiat Group, and Fiat would then avoid larger fines, right? And that's basically the whole agreement. Now, the question mark with this Fiat agreement is now the whole auto world is in turmoil. Companies aren't making a profit. A lot of them are going to struggle to survive, like I shared yesterday in my live stream. And so the question is, will Europe kind of postpone these fines, right? And if they do, then, maybe Fiat doesn't buy the credits or postpones buying the credits for, a few quarters, even a year or two. So this can actually reduce the amount of regulatory credits that Tesla sells this whole crisis, actually. So I think these regulatory credits, they're not something that, even though they are kind of like great income for Tesla, they can change and they can fluctuate quarter to quarter. And so that's kind of the lowdown on these regulatory credits. All right, the highest close from Furkan was $917. Yep, that's... Mike says, any bad news or all good? Yeah, actually, I mean, I think overall, when I look at this shareholder letter, I see just good. I mean, you have, Model Y already, profitable. You have Shanghai already approaching Fremont gross margins. You have, Tesla rolling on all cylinders. The biggest question mark we have for Tesla at this point is, when will they be able to open up Fremont production, right? If Fremont production is not able to open up until June, like, that's actually giving them 1 month in the quarter to produce vehicles. And like, it could take some time to ramp up production too. You can't just like restart everything just, in 1 day. And so, yeah, I mean, if Tesla only has like one quarter to produce cars, we're looking at a second quarter with a lot of loss, like massive loss, because they have to, pay their expenses. They got $1 billion in expenses. So yeah, you're looking at a big loss in Q2 if Tesla's not able to open up. But if Tesla's able to open up early May, like May 4th, as they were hoping to, then Tesla has a shot to produce a good amount of cars and I think potentially be profitable. And we'll talk about what happens to the S&P 500 in that case. VPP Gaming, thanks a lot. Dave, do you think Tesla can maintain 50% growth annually, or should they lower the expectation? Yeah, I don't know if like really Tesla is like set on 50% annual growth. I don't think it works like that linear in terms of how growth, like, it's all about production, and it's all about also the type of like new products you release. Like, for example, you've got Tesla with their Model 3, now with their Model Y and Cybertruck, but at a certain point you've got these vehicles that are on the higher end, right? Maybe mid to high end price. Tesla's not going to get, I think, into the millions and millions of units per car. Let's say, like, they're not going to get above, let's say, 4 or 5 million cars per year, unless they produce really, I think, the what I call the Gen 4 car. And this is kind of like the sub $30,000, like a $25,000 electric vehicle or so. If Tesla's able to do this, then we're looking at a massive spike, right, in what Tesla can produce. And so you might see, actually, I think, you know, you have faster growth in the years where you have new product introductions that they can ramp fast. And you might have slower growth in the years where, you know, they're still building out production capacity, right? And you might have faster growth when they release Gen 4 and they're able to ramp that. And so, yeah, I think what's a better kind of, I think, proxy or kind of better gauge of Tesla's growth or ambitions is what kind of unit sales are they expecting in 2030, right? And are they trying to go for, like, let's say 10 million, right, unit sales in 2030, or are they trying to go for like 3 or 4 million in 2030? And that's something I think Elon Musk will address at Battery Day. And I strongly believe Tesla is looking to shoot for 10 million or greater in units sold in 2030. All right, could you please talk about Tesla insurance? Yeah, Tesla insurance has always been, in my opinion, a lot of Tesla, you know, bulls have been like, oh my gosh, this is going to take over the whole insurance world. And I think we have to taper our expectations, because Tesla insurance was really kind of like a first step in a heavily regulated industry of insurance. And Tesla, you know, is rolling it out based off a locality, and they're doing slow rollouts, trying to figure their way out, partnering with who they need to partner with, getting through the regulations. Tesla is committed to this long term. It's not going to be like a, you know, next 6 months is going to take over everything. But Tesla has an advantage because they have data. They have the safest cars around. They're moving more into, you know, autonomous driving, which is going to improve safety. And so over time, the long term bull case for Tesla insurance is going to grow. It's going to, you know, be something that ultimately saves people money. Like, Tesla's customers becomes a competitive advantage, and also it's just part of the growing Tesla portfolio. Yeah, Tesla could actually get into other insurance products as well. You know, who knows what Tesla can get into. All right, Superclass says, Dave, what's your take on the much lowered solar roof installations? Yeah, I've been saying this for, like, you know, for the longest time. Like, I was actually at the solar roof reveal event. This was at Universal Studios a few years ago. And I was saying, like, you know, it's a fantastic idea and product, but it was really a proof of concept at that time. They really didn't have, like, it really working on these, you know, model houses. And the immense complexity of a solar roof is so intense. And here's how I look at it. It's extremely bullish long term, because I don't think there are many companies in their right mind that would actually try to attempt to compete with Tesla on the solar roof, because it's so complex to create a product that can last like 30 or 40 years, that has all these connections between all these tiles, has to just perform, right, just flawlessly over time, and has to be produced at such a low cost, right? I don't know if there's any company out there that really has the ambition or the balls to really do what Tesla is doing in that field. It's just too complex, right? It's just mind-boggling, like, what type of engineering needs to happen. So long term, I think Tesla has the entire solar roof market to themselves, until there's another company that comes and tries to, you know, compete with them. On the flip side, what that complexity means is there needs to be a ton of iterations for Tesla solar roof. In other words, you know, the first iteration, the second iteration, the third iteration might not even be that great, right? There's going to be major issues and major flaws, and Tesla's ruthlessly going to iterate on these flaws and improve the product. It just means that it's going to take longer than a lot of people expect. And so I think with their third iteration right now, which they have, I think Elon feels very confident enough to try to ramp the production and installation as fast as possible. So, you know, they've ramped it up to 1,000, right, solar roofs per week, and they're trying to get these installed. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a long-term bullish project. It's just, it's going to take time, right? And yeah, that's part of Tesla's, like, advantage, their long-term thinking. And yeah, I'm bullish on solar roof. It's just going to, yeah, take a bit time to get that ramped. All right. All right, David Cho says, they have $8 billion in cash. What is the benefit of that, and how would they use it? Well, Tesla is a very cash-intensive business, right? They have to buy a bunch of just materials, and then, you know, products. They have a bunch of suppliers. Then they have to, after they make the car, they need to, you know, get cash from these, you know, from customers, right? Billions and billions of dollars of cash from customers, and then they have to pay their suppliers, and there's a lot of cash going back and forth. And so Tesla needs a good couple billion just to function, right? To move the cash back and forth. And so that's the first purpose of cash. The second purpose of cash is they can invest it into CapEx. CapEx means capital expenditures. And those are expenditures, let's say, on equipment or future factories or printing press stamping presses or paint shops, etc. And that's great because Tesla can spend billions of dollars to roll out, let's say, their Berlin factory or expand their Shanghai factory or to get a Texas factory going, etc. That's the second reason for cash. The third reason for cash on hand is for crises like now, right? When you have production that's just stopped, right? You just don't have any production, but you have to pay expenses. You need kind of a cash cushion, a savings in times of need. And so for Tesla, yeah, they have, you know, a good a cushion right now, right? $8 billion in cash. It's gonna drop down in Q1 because they have like expenses, but nevertheless, it's better than having $2 or $3 billion in the bank and barely getting by. And so this is one of the reasons why Tesla's in a great kind of bullish scenario right now. All right, Herman says, how do you think Q2 will go? Q2 is completely dependent on, you know, when Fremont starts. I mean, sure, Shanghai is going strong, but, you know, they can only produce what? A good, let's say they produce 40 to 50,000, right, Model 3s. If Fremont's not going to produce that much, let's say they start production in June, yeah, and if Tesla only delivers, let's say, 60,000 or 70,000, then you're looking at a loss of, you know, a good probably $300 to $500 million at least, I think, in Q2. If they can start production early May, then I think they have a chance to become profitable, and I think that's going to be good for S&P 500, which will be my next video that I'm going to start with in about 10-15 minutes. Anthony, I'll stop this live stream soon. I'll talk about S&P 500. I think that's an important topic. I want to go more into the numbers of, you know, what that means. All right, I'll go ahead and stop the live stream right now. Thanks for joining me to review the Tesla earnings report so far. Please go ahead and continue answering questions. I'll try to answer more questions in the next live stream. And I'll come back in about 15 minutes to go into the S&P 500 issue. And then at 3:30, in about an hour or so, we have a conference call with Elon and the management team that you guys can listen on to. Just go to ir.tesla.com. All right, see you guys, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.